Welcome to Doctors of the Baobab, a podcast where we delve into the rich tapestry of experiences, challenges, and triumphs that shape the diverse journey of doctors of African descent in Africa and the diaspora. I'm your host, Dr. Nundu Misomakunga-Stevenson, a medical doctor, life coach, and founder of Ubuntu Doctor Coaching, dedicated to helping doctors find fulfillment in both their personal and professional lives. On this podcast, we go beyond the white coat to get to know the doctors we admire and respect. Join us as we explore the stories behind the stethoscope, uncovering the humanity behind the medical expertise. Whether it's navigating the complexities of patient care, overcoming personal obstacles, or advocating for change in healthcare systems, each episode promises to inspire, educate, and uplift. So sit back, relax, and prepare to embark on a journey of self-discovery with Doctors of the Baobab. Today, we have the privilege of delving into the remarkable journey of Dr. Doris Macharia, a trailblazer in the field of medicine, from her beginnings in Kenya to achieving extraordinary heights. Doris has not only dedicated a life to healing, but has also embraced every challenge as an opportunity for growth and impact. Join us as we uncover the layers of experience, wisdom, and passion that have sculpted her captivating life path. Welcome, Dr. Macharia, and thank you so much for sharing your insights and stories with us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nandumiso, and looking forward to the discussion, great conversation, and really learning and sharing as well.
Awesome. So let's start at the roots, at the very, very beginning. How was Dr. Macharia as a child? Share with us a little bit of your background and your upbringing.
Oh, that's interesting. I grew up in Kenya, in Nairobi. That's the capital of Kenya. And, went to public sort of elementary school and, of course, high school. And one thing I must say that struck me a lot in my adult life, as I think of all my precious memories of being a child, is the dreams of my own parents. They dreamt big. I'm now a doctor, not because necessarily I was such a dream big, I had very big dreams for myself, but my parents had bigger dreams for me. And I really enjoyed school. I enjoyed school for what it was worth, was teased for a number of things in my life. I had a little bit of a cross eye, and I used to be called bionic eye, and that in itself could have pulled me down, but I had great parents and really great social support in terms of being able to sort of realize that, they had dreams for me, and I could also formulate my own dreams and just work hard and do my best. And that was what I did, and I've been fortunate, in very many ways, even as I was a child. I had lots of fun and lots of opportunities, and I was able to finally make it to university, only to realize probably it was just the beginning of many, many things, right? It was not the end all. So I had a really wonderful childhood, and especially with my siblings and friends, it was just a wonderful, wonderful time growing up in Nairobi. Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that piece. No doubt your parents now are very proud of you and the choices that you've made. Would you say that getting into the career was more about their dreams or your dreams, or for both? There was some alignment in that.
Yeah, I would say alignment. But, I think of even now, even with my own daughter right now, to imagine that at 17, 18, you have your whole, career mapped out, I think is, there's some who have that sort of maybe ability, but it's hard to sort of see the future in terms of 20, 30 years. So it is an alignment. It is the fact that you can be encouraged in that path. And that was for me, being a doctor, wow. I knew few doctors. Obviously, apart from going to a hospital, you knew doctors were healers. They had this sort of social standing that was you know, was really admirable. And as well as the fact that, oh yeah, you know, your dreams, you know, you have dreams to do medicine, but also your family is also encouraging you in that path. That is awesome, because then you know, whatever, you know, as you get into medicine, it's going to be a career that is going to be probably good for, not only for myself, but also it's something that the family can also embrace and rally around and support. And I think that in itself is very important. And that affirms also that, yeah, yeah, my dreams are worth, you know, something. I am somebody, you know, and I can really, really try and go for my dreams and do what I need to do. Yeah. Of course, you know, getting into medicine was a whole other issue. You realize, oh gosh, you start having self-doubt and all these things. But at that particular point, it was really that whole combination of my own family, my parents, my mother and father, their dreams they had for me, including mine. And then that formulates to me, yeah, I can be somebody. I can be a doctor. I can be a healer. I can be somebody who provides healthcare. And that is just, you know, I think that was awesome. Yeah.
So in terms of the time when you left medical school, what did you have in mind in terms of where you saw your career? Because for a lot of people, when they left medical school and where they are 20 years down the line, it's sometimes like chalk and cheese. Some people, yes, they planned it out and they got onto that path and that's where they are today. But take me back to Doris on the day she graduated and what she thought was going to unfold in the next 20 years and what has happened so far.
I think I'm one of the, I think I'm the person you're talking about. I imagined my life as a doctor in very differently. I mean, I started off and first of all, you're so relieved that you finally finished, right? And you have now a DR right in front of your name. That in itself is so such an honor and a reward for all the hard work. I was very excited, so excited. So that's point number one. And I knew I'm just going to do clinical medicine because who else had I seen? I'd seen doctors who were internists, pediatricians, anesthetists, you name it, right? That's what I had seen. And also that was, those were sort of the disciplines within medicine that had been driven quite hard. Like, oh yeah, these are the successful folks in medicine, clinical work. I then thought, okay, let me go back and do a residency program, a master's in internal medicine, because I need to specialize and be a physician. So that's what I did because I thought that was my path, right? And I did that and no sooner had I come out, I had just finished my M.Med in internal medicine. And then the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and one of my also mentors at the university in terms of my master's said, oh, Doris, there's this opportunity to look at prescription practices of antiretroviral therapy in, you know, to try and pull together something on how we can help the country to sort of standardize antiretroviral therapy. And I thought, what? No way. I'm not going to do that. I'm doing clinical work. This is not possible. This stuff of public health is for people who don't want to do calls. They don't want to have any night calls. They want to have an easy life. It's not the thing I want to do. Came knocking again. Actually, it was like 2-3 times I said, let me just go and meet these folks and see and maybe get them off my back. Do you know, that was the, I don't know, turning point, my epiphany in my own career. I'm now in public health or global health, whatever you might want to call it, and I enjoyed tremendously. But I was thinking, when I was in medical school, you know, public health, you know, we did a bit of community health during fourth year, but it wasn't really a strong, you know, it wasn't really a strong discipline. However, also public health was not considered like a, can I use the word bourgeoisie? Yeah, it was not the bourgeoisie
yes,
discipline.
Yes, you can use the word bourgeoisie.
If I can use that word,
not at the top of the medical hierarchy.
Exactly, that's what I mean. It was not like the elite. You know, of course, there are those within, you know, within our medicine fraternity that are considered, you know, really nice sort of disciplines to be in terms of work, in terms of career, in terms of also making a good living, right? Public health was not one of them. But I can tell you, just after my residency and then got into, you know, this work with HIV and in Kenya, and it was so humbling to realize that this kind of work, I can make a big difference, not just to the patient I'm seeing in my clinical practice, but to thousands and millions of people. That was, for me, very mind-boggling, I can tell you. And all of a sudden, you know, being able to design programs, roll them out, work with communities, create partnerships, have community dialogues, you know, you name it, do policies, guidelines. I had never thought of that. That, to me, has been the most exciting part of my own journey. And I can tell you, Dr. Nondumiso, I have never turned back. I have not missed clinical work. And I think to myself, if I was to tell myself, if I was to talk to my medical school self, I would say, yeah, look into public health a little bit more and see whether it's an option for you, right? But, you know, I was able to pivot and then do that. And now, you know, I'm in various, I've done various things, you know, it's HIV, TB, malaria, and now in eye care. And the good thing of, I think, being a medical doctor, I think for me, and my one advice is that you've got a lot of, because we look at health from not just one aspect of health, you know, I may never have reduced a fracture, yeah, because I was not an orthopedic surgeon, but I can tell you what needs to be done. These are the things you need to do. This, you know, we all have a good sense of clinical, preventive, curative medicine. And that helps us to get into various aspects of global health, whether they be eye care, they be HIV, maternal and child health. And that is really, for me, the biggest privilege we have as doctors. And therefore, you can really be able to chart your path based on what you want now. You can decide, I just want to do clinical medicine. I want to do research. I want to do just global health work for nonprofits like myself. And you're able to do that. And you're able to quickly sort of also rise in terms of your own leadership, learn from others, and be credible, right? Because you have some gravitas as being a medical doctor.
Many young doctors or early career doctors sometimes have the impression that you are leaving medicine if you are moving into a non-clinical role. Are you really still a doctor if you are not in a consultation room with a patient? If you are not with a patient, are you really still a doctor? And I think from what you're saying, that doesn't follow. It doesn't apply. You know, a doctor is a doctor whether you are working with a patient or whether you're in public health or in health tech or in government. It's not defined by whether the patient is with you or not. And that kind of leads me to the question about this doctor identity. Do you feel or have you experienced in your own life that people treat you differently because you are a doctor, or you have also adopted and internalized what society thinks you should be because you are a doctor? So this whole title, has it been a burden for you on a personal level, but also in terms of how you show up every day when you interact with other people?
Honestly, it's not a burden. I think for me, I see it as a big privilege. It's, I think from a professional circle, it's really great when I'm able to introduce myself as Dr. somebody, because then the curiosity starts. So Doris, what are you exactly doing? What do you do? Oh, okay. All right. And then I can explain the work that I'm doing and my own passions and, you know, what I want to, what I'm currently doing in terms of my professional life, but also what I'm, you know, my own future in terms of what I'm thinking of, you know, getting into. And that is a conversation builder. How, there's also the fact that when you say you're a doctor, in the social circles, people sort of hold you in, you know, whether intentional or not, in a sort of a different and a higher regard, that they want to listen to your point of view. And it's how you can use that to sort of have the conversations, have the discussions, but also be able to influence, you know, positively, whether it is talking about why, you know, whether it's issues of from even climate change to why are we having more malaria in this and this and the malaria vaccines. You can be able to weigh in because your opinion is sought after. Now, on the other hand, on the social circle, I sometimes don't like to be called a doctor because then everyone comes with all their problems. Oh, I have this pain. What do you think? Or things like that. Or if I go to see another medical doctor for my own needs, I'm always like, do I tell them I'm a doctor? Because I might be treated differently, right? Because I'm like, they'll think, oh yeah, now they have to be super careful, or they'll think that I already know they're not going to explain something. So I'm just recalling a particular incident, you know, sometimes where it's not that great being a doctor, right? For me, at least, who is not doing clinical work. I mean, I'm in these long haul flights, 15 hours sometimes or thereabouts. And inevitably, sometimes people get sick in the plane. And then I hear the voice over, is there a doctor in the plane? And I'm like, oh boy, I just hope there's somebody else inside this plane. And I wait and I wait and I'm thinking, there must be somebody. I mean, really, this is a huge plane. I mean, there must be somebody else. So when I see somebody going, and then I say, okay, good, let me go and assist now. So then I become the assistant. But I know that, you know, some of those things have been very scary for me. So I always come back home with those sort of stories. But it's because, again, you realize that, yes, being a doctor is not everything. Even in my own position, if being in a plane, is also realizing that they better not ask for a medical person. And if they do, I really hope that there's somebody else. Otherwise, I'll just sit down quietly. It sounds so bad, but I've not been in clinical practice for long. And it's very hard for somebody to understand that. Obviously, I can do, you know, the usual first aid. But my hope is that there's somebody else who is, you know, has just come out of their clinical practice yesterday or that afternoon and knows exactly what to do. And then I then can assist the person. So most of the time I usually show up as an assistant. What can I assist? What can I help you with? Can I take the notes? Can I do this? Can I, you know, and that becomes nice because then it's sort of then a nice thing sort of to do. So being a doctor is not everything. And also you can be a doctor in different things. So just wanted to share that as really an example of, you know, you can also feel like you've been boxed, and also you can feel like, wow, you know, you're not knowing what your strengths are is going to be also important as well. So it's realizing that having the name of DR, doctor, just in front of your name, has lots of privileges, has good advantages, but also enables you to sort of, I think professionally, you can definitely grow. I think on the social side is where you need to do a little bit more maneuvering and being a little bit wise in terms of how you want to be, to how you want people to sort of view you, perceive you, and also so that you also are able to give others space to have conversations. Otherwise, you can find yourself, people are like, so what do you think, doc? What do you think, doc? No, it's not only my opinion. There are others. But in a professional setting, it's different because your voice is definitely needed. So I love being a doctor. I think it has really enabled me advance in my career, but it has also enabled me have different conversations socially that I wouldn't have had. So I'd say it's nice. It's really great. All those years of being in medical school, I think are paying out for me in a very positive way. Yeah, even despite all those, doc, tell me what is happening to my eye, and, you know, diagnosing people on the fly, you know, that in itself sometimes is funny and a bit annoying, but it's lesser the problem. I think more of the fact that you have an opportunity to engage and really, really influence some of the discussions or issues that are happening, I think, in the world, because your voice actually counts, right? And there's a perception that, you know, you must weigh in. You must know something about this. So that's a privilege.
You're a very busy doctor. For sure, you have ways and techniques of managing work and life, as they call it, the work-life balance. When you are not at work, when you are not the vice president of an international nonprofit company, who's Doris? What is she doing? With whom?
Okay, that's great. Gosh, I think obviously work takes a lot of my time, but because I enjoy it a lot. But on the other hand, the other stuff I do is I'm a mom, I'm a wife. I have to do all these other things of making sure that the family is, you know, is happy, that we are talking, that we're engaging, that we know what the other is doing, even in our own little corners of work. But also, you know, having my own hobbies. I was just thinking now that, you know, in January I had a good resolution, which I feel so bad that I haven't kept up with. I had actually told myself that I need to get back to running, right? Because during COVID times, I was like, I was almost going to be a marathon runner because there's also that interest to try and be as healthy as I can and try to do that. So I look at myself, work defines a lot of what I do, but there's also the fact that I have a family, and not only my immediate family, extended family, you know, that really mean a lot to me and the reason as to why I do what I do. So that's the aspects about me. And then just this weekend, you know, one of my resolutions, which I'm really keeping in 2024, is reading. So this weekend picked up a book on finding your purpose, and I'm almost finishing it. And I feel so proud that I'm I can actually keep up with being able to learn and grow and develop myself, not just in terms of work. Yeah. So it's a journey. It's a journey. Yeah. But yeah.
And what music are you listening to?
Oh, wow. I like gospel music and a lot of Niger beats. I think any Nigerian star, whether it's Asake or Wizkid. Who else do I like? I like Oxalate and many others, right? I love listening to gospel music and Nigerian music. Long story, but it's just something that as I'm working, I'll put my earphones on and that keeps me just going.
Thank you. Dr. Doris Macharia, what a wonderful and inspiring and inspired conversation with you. I love the whole of Dr. Macharia, the daktari that you have brought, the daughter, the mother, the leader, the mentor, everything that you have brought to this conversation. And I know that even myself, I've learned a great deal from you, and certainly anybody else that is listening in can take bits and pieces of challenges and experiences that you've shared with us and learn from it and grow from it. The mindset that you have is certainly food for a young doctor to take some reflection on their career. And even for us older ones who've been around for some time, as you've said, you never stop learning. You never stop learning. And I've known you for many years, but it's so nice to really unpack who you are and see all the beautiful sides of Dr. Doris Macharia, a doctor of the Baobab, a proud African daughter of the soil. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
And thank you so much, Dr. Dondumiso, for the opportunity to obviously share my journey and also to reflect, because I think, yeah, that makes, I think it will also make me better and also more determined to move forward. Yeah. Thank you.
And that wraps up another insightful episode of Doctors of the Baobab. I hope you found today's discussion both enlightening and empowering. Before we part ways, I want to extend a heartfelt invitation to the audience. If you are a doctor and you've been inspired by what you've heard today and you're ready to take action towards positive change in your life, consider working with me, your host, Dr. Nondumiso Makunga-Stevenson, as your personal life coach. You can email me to learn more about my coaching services and how we can embark on a transformative journey together. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode filled with valuable insights and strategies for personal growth. Sharing is caring, so if you know someone who could benefit from our discussions, be sure to spread the word and encourage them to tune in. And let's stay connected beyond the podcast. Follow us on all social media platforms, including LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Join the conversation, share your thoughts, and connect with like-minded individuals who are also on a journey towards living their best lives. Thank you for tuning in today. Remember, every small step you take towards your goals is a victory worth celebrating. Until next time, keep striving, keep growing, and keep shining bright. Doctors of the Baobab, where medicine meets motivation.